Welcome to the About Health and Hormones podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Allen, a recovered sugar addict turned certified nutrition coach on a mission to help women learn how to balance their hormones and optimize their fertility. On this podcast, we have conversations with experts about all things health, hormones, wellness, nutrition, and more to give you the information, tips, and tricks you need to take control of your health and feel amazing in your body. I am so happy that you're here and I can't wait to dive in. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today for a solo episode. And what I'm going to be talking about today is how your thoughts impact your health and your habits. And I don't know if this is something that you think about a lot. It's something that I think about literally all the time, probably more than what I think about food, because our thoughts have such a huge effect on the way that we behave in life. And so many of our thoughts are subconscious. So unless you really are in tune with this, you don't know about it. But this comes up with literally every client that I work with in my coaching practice. Because whenever people have obstacles that come up, we see that it is connected to their thoughts. And I love talking to my clients about how their thoughts are affecting their behaviors, because this is just something that resonates a lot with me on a personal level. First of all, I love psychology. I studied psychology in university. I thought I was going to end up going into psychology, but as life turned out, I did not. And I ended up doing this, but I bring in a lot of elements of psychology because we just see how much our thoughts influence our behavior. And I'm someone who spends a lot of time in my own head with my own thoughts. Like, I always talk about this with my husband because he knows it took a while for him to learn this because we're very different in this sense. I need like at least 4 hours every day where I'm alone and not talking to someone, where I can just sit with my thoughts and be with my thoughts. So I love driving by myself. I used to even love taking transportation, like the bus or the train or something, because then I would have time to just like sit and digest my thoughts. And if I don't get that time, so if there's, you know, time periods now where like my kids are off from daycare or we're traveling or we're all together as a family and I have zero alone time, I literally start to go crazy because I'm like, I need time to process my thoughts. And he just doesn't relate to that in the same way. And it was like a really interesting thing that I learned when I got married, that like, oh, not everybody sits and processes their own thoughts for 4 hours a day. But it is something that I spend a lot of time doing, like I've always done since I was a kid. I always loved having alone time. I needed a lot of alone time. And I start to lose it a little bit when I don't get a lot of alone time. And I think part of the gift of that is that I've become very aware of my thoughts. And then also through practicing techniques like mindfulness and meditation, that's helped me get really clear on my thoughts. But I know that for some people, thoughts are a lot murkier, or not even murky, but just like things that they don't think about a lot. And there are definitely downsides to spending a lot of time ruminating in your thoughts, because as we're going to talk about in this episode, sometimes your thoughts are really not true and they're not reflective of the truth and they're not beneficial and they're not helpful, and they lead you to behaving in ways that don't really serve you. But the first thing that's going to help people with understanding how your thoughts impact your health and habits is just understanding the pathway of how your thoughts lead to behaviors. So there's this model that we use a lot in coaching. Maybe some of you are familiar with this, but if you're not, I'll walk you through it, which is basically the thoughts, feelings, actions model. And the theory of the model is that the first thing that happens usually is that you have a thought. Whether you're conscious of it or not, there's some little voice or words or pictures or some kind of thought in your head. And that leads you to feel a certain emotion. So let's say, for example, your thought when you wake up, whether you are conscious of it or not, is you wake up and you think, oh, I'm so tired. Okay, that's the thought. And that thought leads to a feeling. And that feeling could be anything from, you know, not just like feeling a physical exhaustion, but feeling maybe resentful or avoidant, or feeling frustrated, feeling angry, feeling, you know, just like you don't want to get up and do anything, that you want to stay in bed. And then that feeling usually leads to an action. So that action could be something like, I'm going to hit snooze and try to go back to sleep. It could be I am going to grab my phone and start scrolling because I just want to avoid getting up and, you know, push off that feeling of getting out of bed as much as possible. And this can be applied to literally every single thought, feeling, and action. You can work through this model. And what's really cool about it is a lot of times I see with my clients, they're doing certain actions that they're just like, why am I doing this? I'm so frustrated. I'm trying to work so hard on eating healthier or exercising consistently. And like, I don't know why, you know, on Tuesday, I just totally didn't do it. Or I found myself, you know, reaching for the ice cream and finishing the pint before I even realized it was over. And like, I don't even know what was going on when I did that. And so when people are especially practicing actions that are not serving them, it's really helpful to work through this model and go backwards and say like, okay, if your action that you are frustrated with or unsatisfied with is that you ended up ordering dinner from a fast food restaurant instead of cooking a healthy meal for yourself. Well, okay, let's work backwards and think, well, what were you feeling in that moment when you did that? And usually my client will say something like, I was feeling exhausted. I was feeling stressed. I had a really rough day. And that is what led to me calling in and ordering some takeout food. And we say, okay, you were feeling stressed. You were feeling exhausted. What were some of the thoughts that you were thinking in that moment? And they'll usually think back throughout their day. Maybe they had, you know, a tough meeting at work. Maybe their coworker said something annoying to them. I don't know. There's like all sorts of things that can happen that can trigger those feelings. And when we work through that, we say, listen, it's really, really hard to change your feelings. They're kind of like this internally generated thing, and it's really hard to change them. It's actually much easier to change your thoughts, to become aware of your thoughts. And not that you can necessarily erase certain thoughts, but to get in there and say, okay, if we're, you know, I always do this visually with my clients. We write it in like a vertical way. So on the top of the page, we write thoughts, and then a line down, we write feelings, and then a line down from that, we write the actions. And if you go back to the top and you switch out and replace that thought with something new, you're actually able to then lead to a different feeling, which is then going to lead to a different action. So part of why this is so important to note is because there are so many different things that affect our thoughts. And I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are probably really mindful with what they consume when it comes to food. Even if you're not eating, you know, anywhere near perfectly or close to where you want to be, you are probably thoughtful about it if you listen to this podcast. So you're thoughtful about what you put in your body. Maybe you're even thoughtful about what you put on your body in terms of using products that are non-toxic or making sure that you're using, you know, the healthiest version of the body wash, the shampoo, the suntan lotion, whatever things that you put in and on your body. But maybe you're not as conscious about what you consume when it comes to things that are affecting your thoughts. And there are so many sneaky ways that this slips in. And I think it's so important to be talking about today more than ever, because we are all such consumers, especially if you're on social media. But if you're doing anything that gives you input, whether that's reading the news, reading a blog, checking email, listening to podcasts, checking Instagram, TikTok, like for sure social media, even just getting together with other people and going out to events and talking to friends and talking to family members, every time you have an interaction, that can be feeding your thoughts. And so much of our natural thought process has to do with what happened when we were little or what kinds of messages we received when we were little. And we don't even realize how those kinds of thoughts are shaping our actions today. So I want to go through some examples of how I see this playing out for people when it comes to food, but also when it comes to just like literally anything that's not serving them. So let's say, for example, you're feeling stressed about work. You know, you have a huge deadline. You're like, okay, this project is due tomorrow, or this presentation is going to happen tomorrow. And the thought is, I don't have enough time. I have so many things to do. I don't have enough time. I also have to pick up my dry cleaning and make dinner and fold laundry. And like, there's so many things running through your mind of, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. And that starts to make you feel really anxious. And that feeling is very uncomfortable. It's hard to sit with those feelings. And a lot of times when our brain or our body is not feeling good, we look for a quick fix of how to get some kind of hit of dopamine. So that could be something like reaching for a cookie or reaching for your phone. Even if you're like, I know that I don't feel good after I sit and scroll on my phone, you do get a short-term boost of dopamine when you check Instagram. There's so much on the phone in terms of like the lights and the colors and the sounds and notifications. And there's like tons of articles on this. I think one day I'm going to have to do a whole separate episode specifically on how social media affects our brain and our health. But when you basically scroll on Instagram, there are all these different mechanisms that make you feel like you're getting a dopamine hit. You're getting this little mini high and you might not realize it, but that's why we keep doing it. That's why it's so addicting. Actually, I think my husband was telling me this, that he was listening to a podcast with the guy who invented the scrolling, not the scrolling feature. Yeah, it was the scrolling feature. It was like, you know, when you go on Instagram, how it used to be, if anyone remembers from back in the day, or this would used to happen on Facebook, you would scroll all the way down and then it used to say, there's no more news. Like you finished for the day. There's nothing new. Check back in a little bit to get more updates. But now you just can scroll on and on forever and they'll always bring up new content. Even if all the people that you follow have posted and you've gotten to the bottom of that, they'll put suggested for you and they'll put other things. And there's this little circle that makes it look like things are loading. Sometimes they've done studies that looking at that loading circle, that for whatever reason, it increases our dopamine hit. So there's something about like, oh my gosh, wait, I need to wait for the next post to load on my phone. Oh my gosh, now it just loaded. We get this hit that makes us be like, I just got a mini high. I need to go back for more. So I keep continuing and I keep scrolling. And so our brain tends to like to avoid pain and seek pleasure. And a lot of the times when we're doing these behaviors that are not serving us, it's just our brain's way of trying to avoid pain and seek pleasure. Now, the problem with that is those activities usually help us feel better in the short term, but it's the activities that generally don't make us feel great right away. But when we do them consistently, they help us feel good in the long term. Things like exercising regularly, okay? It's hard. You're not in the mood to put on workout clothes and do strenuous activity. But if you exercise regularly every single week for months and months, there's so much research showing that that has an incredibly positive impact on our mental health, on our physical health, on our emotional health, that those people are happier. So even if you're like grunting through your workout, if you are exercising more regularly, you tend to be happier and have better coping mechanisms to handle stress. Same thing with eating healthier food. Maybe in the moment, it's harder to say no to the less healthy option that's easier and more convenient and is going to give you a bigger dopamine hit in terms of, you know, you're eating, let's say like an ice cream sundae, you're going to feel different. You're going to have different biochemistry in your brain than if you have a kale salad. But generally over the long term, when we're eating healthier, we feel better long term. So it's really important to think about this and understand how your thoughts are a part of that process. And I know that sometimes this can actually go in a different way. Like I've had this happen a lot with clients where they think, okay, I need to start getting my health control and my eating habits under control. And in order to do that, first, I need to like remodel my kitchen and clean out my fridge and organize the pantry and order all the fancy spice jars with matching labels. But wait, I don't have time to do that because my in-laws are coming this week. And then, you know, we have this holiday and like it starts to get so out of control and overwhelming just in your head when the initial thing that you wanted to do was just like meal prep this week, or maybe even make a healthy dinner or prepare breakfast for tomorrow. Now in your head, you're like, wait a second, I have to remodel my entire kitchen and go to 9 different stores and get all new kitchen gear. And then in your brain, you're thinking those thoughts and your body, you're feeling so overwhelmed that your action is just like, I need to avoid this because this is so overwhelming. So you take out your phone and scroll. And every action that you say yes to is also saying no to a million other things. So you say no to making a shopping list. You say no to taking out your cutting board and chopping up vegetables. You say no to looking up a fun new recipe on Pinterest, okay? And you don't even realize, you're just thinking like, in my head, I'm being productive because I'm thinking about all the things that I need to do to eat healthy, but it's not actually working for you. And really analyzing if you're not doing the behaviors that you want to be doing, you have to start thinking, are the thoughts that I'm having serving me? Because if you're not doing those things, they're probably not. And we spend so much time wondering why we're not doing the actions. Is it a lack of willpower? Is it because I'm disorganized? Is it because I have some kind of personal flaw? But a lot of times we have to treat the root cause. And in this case, the root cause are the thoughts. The thoughts are what leads to the feelings, which leads to the actions. And when you're able to change your thoughts or introduce new thoughts, you're going to have an easier time changing the actions because it's going to flow so much more easily. And a lot of what we consume these days is really negative. If you think of the news, right? 99% of the time, they're reporting on tragedies and bad things that are happening in the world. We don't report on when things go as planned. We don't report on when citizens are just acting nicely and following the law, right? We hear about criminals. We hear about wars. We hear about all these terrible things on the news. Even on social media, I think we're in this really interesting time where there's a lot of like women especially trying to reclaim their mental health and trying to be more forgiving and more relatable in a lot of ways. So you'll see things, you know, about, let's say, like, treat yourself, you deserve it. And that can look like eating something less healthy. It can look like having a glass of wine or, you know, just like kicking back and watching TV. I know for myself, that is not actually treating myself well. I'm not saying never, but I'm saying generally to eat food that's not healthy and spend a night watching TV, I usually do not feel good after doing that. I have a harder time sleeping. And if anything messes up my sleep, I just won't feel as good the next day. So sometimes there are these things that will kind of creep in, or like I find personally where a lot of my thoughts get affected and I probably need to unfollow some accounts is that I follow a mix of accounts on Instagram. I mean, I follow a lot of stuff, but when it comes to food, I follow a lot of people in the health and hormone space. I follow a lot of people who also talk about intuitive eating and having a healthy relationship with food. But I'll find a lot of times I'll see them post things on Instagram that can just like really affect my thoughts. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to say who it is, but I follow this guy on social media who basically posted something like, every health coach out there is basically someone disguising their eating disorder with like a health coaching program. And I felt so weird about it. I was just like, oh my God, is this true? Is that what I'm doing? Like, could this be? And I don't really understand it. And I had to take a breather and be like, no, because I know that even just on an objective level, if you look at any of my blood work from before I started my health journey and any of my symptoms, like, you know, the eczema, all of my digestive issues, my blood sugar numbers, my A1C, my testosterone levels, like almost everything has leveled out to a much healthier place. And I feel good and I don't feel stressed about food and I don't have fears of food. So I was just like, no, like I don't have an eating disorder. But someone said that. Someone put out a post that says like all health coaches have eating disorders. And I was like, wait a second. Like, is that true? And it started making me feel like I have to flip my balance, or maybe I need to be a little bit better about certain indulgences. You know, the past month, I've actually really been taking care to try and not have any added sweeteners, even like honey or coconut sugar or anything like that. And I'll tell you the truth, I just do so much better with stricter boundaries. It's not just with food. It's how I am with things in general, like how I am with, you know, when it comes to like Jewish practices, how I am when it comes to my time, let's say my boundaries with my phone or with alcohol. Like, it's much easier for me to say all or nothing than it is for me to do things in moderation. And I was like, oh my gosh, is what I'm doing so bad or so crazy? Or should I not talk about it? Like, I don't want to post about it because I feel like it promotes this idea that all these health coaches have eating disorders. And I was just like, no. And I wasn't having these thoughts of second guessing myself because I'm pretty good usually with my intuition. And sometimes when you let these things in, it can just like sneak under the cracks of your intuition and affect what you're doing. And I see people doing stuff like this all the time, especially when it comes to nutrition information from Instagram. Like, so many people will ask me questions like, I'm scared to eat dairy. I heard it's so bad for you because of all the hormones and the estrogen. Or people will tell me, I'm so scared to eat meat because I see all these people posting about like plant-based diets and being vegan is healthier for you. And it's not just that like they're not looking at data, they're looking at Instagram posts. It's really about, you know, how we let those thoughts affect our actions. And I think also nowadays, the whole influencer culture is really creating thoughts that we do not notice in our brains. Because when you're scrolling quickly on social media and you see this influencer who's wearing a perfect outfit and her hair and makeup is perfectly done and she looks like she has it all together and she's, you know, she just went to Pilates and she has her healthy smoothie and like all the things look perfect, you probably are thinking in your head like, oh my God, she looks so perfect and I'm such a hot mess. But because we scroll so quickly, we don't even process that thought. We're like on to the next one. And before you've ever acknowledged your feelings, because they're building up, those feelings are building up in your body. And we're usually not feeling so good about ourselves. We're feeling insecure. We're feeling bummed out. You're already on to the next influencer. And the same thing is happening. And so many of us are literally stuck in this cycle all day, day and night. And you don't even realize that is preventing me from really working towards taking action to build the life that I want. Whether that's being a better friend, being a better mom, being better in my relationship and like reaching out to people and having real connection. You could be texting your friend being like, hey, I miss you so much. How are you? Let's get together. But instead you're sitting there on your phone thinking all these things like I'll never have it good enough. Or like I know for me a big one also that I find myself thinking when I spend too much time on social media is that my house is never clean. Like, oh my gosh, these people post their beautiful kitchens and everything's so perfectly clean and organized. And like, I really should be better about that. And you know what? If I want to do that, I need all new furniture because like our furniture is so old and we got it all secondhand and I hate it and it's so ugly. And like, I'll go down these thoughts that end up making me feel so stressed. Let me also add, like, I hate the idea of furniture shopping. That is not one of my talents. I have so many friends who are so good at like designing a room and interior design. That is not my talent. I have a lot of talents in this life, thank God. That kind of like eye for design, it's just not me. Like I don't have it. I don't have it with furniture. I don't have it with putting together cool outfits. I'm just not naturally attuned to that. And I notice it with other people because it's something that I myself am not good at. It's something that I definitely used to be more insecure about when I was younger because I always had really fashionable friends who always like just looked so good and so put together. And I would try to match like gray and navy and brown. And they're like, Lauren, what are you doing? Like nothing you're wearing matches. I was like, oh, really? In my head, it matches. But it's something that actually ends up preventing me from then doing the things that I do care about. And I do talk about this sometimes on Instagram. Like I will always feel better if I do yoga than if I clean up my living room to like get it spick and span perfectly clean. Listen, I need my home to be clean enough to function. Like our clothes need to be put away so I know where they are so I can get dressed in the morning and my kids need to be able to get ready without us looking all over the apartment for socks. But just to like beyond that have, you know, perfectly dustless shelves and a perfectly organized kitchen, like I don't need that. I will feel better if I spend a lot more time going out with my friends, going on a date with my husband, working out, doing whatever other things I like doing, reading, going to sleep earlier. That actually makes me feel better. But I'll have all these thoughts where I feel so guilty about it. And sometimes I'll ignore those actions because I'm not even cleaning up. I'm just like thinking about how my house is so messy. And then I scroll on Instagram. And one thing that I want to talk about when it comes to changing your thoughts, because what we want to start doing is changing our thoughts or bringing in new thoughts that are leading us to better outcomes. There's this thing that I once heard that your first thought is a reaction to your situation that's based off of, you know, the voice that was created when you were younger. So a lot of that can be related to what your parents said or the way that your friends talked to you when you were little. If you wake up, let's say, thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. Today's going to be such an intense day. It's going to be a really long day. That's just your first reaction to the situation. It doesn't mean it's true. And there's this quote from a psychiatrist, Dr. Amen, who says, don't believe every stupid thing you think. And it's such a crazy quote. Like to not believe the things that you think will actually shift your entire life. And even just questioning, oh my God, are my thoughts for real? Like, are they true? Or are they just random things that come into my head that might be true or might not be true? But then when you take that pause, you can say, what do I actually think? Oh my gosh, it will literally change your life. And they say your first thought is this reaction that's based off of all this input from, you know, the culture and media and your parents and, you know, whatever's kind of shaped your initial reaction to things. But your second thought is a much better reflection of who you are. So I'll give you an example that maybe will be relatable to some people. Maybe you'll see like, I don't know, a certain person. Let's take a celebrity because I think that feels a little bit more removed. And you just see a picture of this celebrity and you're like, oh, she's so whatever. Like she thinks she's so great. She's the worst. I hate her. And that's just kind of this like initial reaction that you have. And then you take a second and think, do I actually hate her? Like, do I actually hate Kim Kardashian? I don't even know her. Like, I don't know what she does. I don't know anything about what she's like. Like, maybe my thought is just, I don't know her. I don't really care about what she's up to. And that's it. Like, it's not that you necessarily really truly hate her just because that's the first thought that pops into your brain. And let's say you notice these thoughts around something like working out and you really want to be exercising more consistently. And you think about, okay, I want to get started with an exercise routine. I need to put on leggings and put on a sports bra. And your initial thought to that is just like, oh my gosh, I can't. I feel like those two words, I can't, have become so common in the last, I don't know, 2-3 years. It's like a response to everything. They actually did a really funny Saturday Night Live bit about this, where there's like these office girls who are just like, oh my gosh, today is so crazy. I can't. And they say, I can't to everything. And then there's this other employee who has two broken arms. And she's like, no, I literally can't. They'll be like, can you type up this document? She's like, no, I can't. I have two broken arms. So like, can you make a coffee? She's like, no, I can't. And all the other employees are also saying, I just can't. I can't. And I actually think it's a really funny video because it's so true. We have gotten so used to this thought of like, oh my gosh, I just can't. I can't deal. I mean, I use that vernacular a lot. And it's really not true. Most of the things that I say I can't about are just like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, everything, whatever, I can't. And it's like not even about anything. But how are you going to feel when you are constantly telling yourself, I can't? If you change your thoughts and you say, of course I could do this. It's going to be hard, but of course I could do this. I am going to feel so proud of myself when I do this. I am someone who sticks to what I commit to. You are going to have such a different feeling even now as I'm saying these words, and I'm not even saying them about anything real. I'm just talking into my microphone for this podcast. I feel a shift of energy in my body. I'm remembering all of the times that I said I can't, and you know what? I did. I got through it. I managed to make it happen even on the hard days. And I think starting to just notice even those kinds of little things, your thoughts and your language, because our language also really shapes our thoughts. If you notice when people ask you, how are you? If your response is always, I'm so tired. I'm not telling you don't say that. I'm not telling you not to be honest. I think there is a lot of value in not just being like, I'm good, I'm fine, if you don't mean it. But to really think about if what you're saying is just a habit and if it's really true. I want to talk about some thoughts around eating because your thoughts really influence how you eat. And this is something that I see come up with my clients all the time. I'll give you a personal example of how this affected me a lot more in my earlier journey when it came to changing my diet. But when I was getting started with this whole process, as you guys know, if you listen to the podcast, I only started doing this because I was trying to get pregnant. So I wasn't like inspired to eat healthy. I didn't think it was cool or inspirational. I actually thought it was like really sad. And I always had this story in my head that eating sugar and eating junk food is fun and baking is fun. And I also had this story that girls who ate really healthy were not fun. They were killjoys. They hated themselves. They had like weird, unresolved, disordered eating. And you know what? Some of that was based on truth. I need to be careful how I say this, but I was once in a place with a certain group of girls who, when we were in this situation, we were in this place for a number of months, but I was with a bunch of girls who basically were developing a lot of disordered eating patterns. Like they were counting calories and writing down their calories every day. They were weighing themselves every day. And when I was in this environment, I also felt like these girls are not fun. They don't want to go out to restaurants. They don't want to go to the movies and get popcorn and get ice cream. And I really felt like the girls who are so concerned with eating healthy, quote unquote, because I actually don't think what they were doing was healthy. They would like drink water and eat lettuce. But the girls who cared about eating healthy or cared about losing weight, like they were not fun. And part of what I felt like people liked about me was that I was always down. I was always down to go out and get chocolate souffle. I was always down to bake the craziest things. And the truth is, I'm a very good baker. I'm very exact. I'll always get like the very specific ingredients, or I used to like bring over and import the best chocolate chips and the best white chocolate chips and the most specific flour to make the best cookies. And I would read all these blogs about it. Like I was really into it. And I felt like even when people would invite us for Shabbos, it was a joke. People were like, we invite you, like we invite the Allens for the cookies because I brought the best chocolate chip cookies. And it was really hard when I had all of those thoughts to think like, well, now how am I going to give all of that up and eat healthy to try to get pregnant? Because there was this idea that like, I'm going to give up this whole identity as a fun girl. And I was really scared of like, if I'm not fun, who's going to want to hang out with me? What am I going to do for my birthday? Like, what's the point if I can't even go out for cake every night? And there were all of those thoughts and they came up a lot in the beginning, but there were a lot of new thoughts that I started taking a lot of effort to put into place. So if I notice myself saying like, it's really not fun to eat healthy or this is really hard, I would say things like, this is hard, but I could do hard things. And I've done hard things in the past. And I'm sure everyone has an example of their own hard thing that they've gotten through. For me, I often go back to moving to Israel. I moved here when I was 19 alone. I didn't have any friends or family here. I kind of don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I do. It was not a rash decision. It was really a thoughtful decision. And I knew it was what I wanted, but it was really, really hard to move to a new country without a support system here. And I did it. And thank God, built a really beautiful life and have an amazing community and met my husband and have a lot of family here now through him. My brother actually ended up moving here. So that was something that I just, you know, I would tell myself, this is hard, but I could do hard things. Whenever I would think about, oh my gosh, how am I going to stick to this? Like, this is so hard. How can I eat healthy for like 3 or 4 months? Because I only initially wanted to do it until I got pregnant. I would think, one day at a time, I can eat healthy foods for today. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I don't know what will be next week or next month, but I can do it today. And I still actually go back to this a lot because if I think forever of like not eating certain things or not just like ordering pizza every Thursday night, like my family did growing up. And again, it's not to say that you can't do those things and live a healthy life, but it's just like not really what I do. It's not really the way I eat. I don't feel good if I do things like that. I still think like that's so overwhelming to think about having a healthier lifestyle for, I don't know, the next 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is. Please God, it should be a long time. I don't like to think about it. I just go back to one day at a time. I can eat healthy today. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but I could do it today. And that takes me from feeling stressed and overwhelmed into this is calm. This is doable. I feel at peace. I feel at ease. I don't feel like I have too much on my plate. And that leads me to taking different actions. I can make a healthy lunch and a healthy dinner today. That's it. And then I do it and rinse and repeat every day going forward. Oh, this is another funny one that I thought about a lot in the beginning. If there were healthy recipes that I saw and I was just like, that's so not me. I don't eat things like that. I would think, can I eat it if it's smothered in roasted garlic? Probably, because I was obsessed at that point. This was like early 2020. And even before that, I was literally obsessed with garlic. I was eating so much garlic, more than any normal person. And I would always make garlic confit. I would like take all this garlic, whole cloves of garlic, cover it in olive oil and a little ramekin, and roast it for hours until it got like super caramelized. And I was obsessed. Like I would put that oil on everything and basically any healthy food that I had not eaten before, because at that point I had like never tried Brussels sprouts or asparagus or eggplant or all these vegetables that I now eat regularly. I hadn't even tried them. I was a super picky eater growing up, but I was like, I'll try it if it's roasted, if it's covered in roasted garlic. I would think a lot about why I was making these changes. And I would say, I'm setting my body up to get pregnant. I'm setting my body up for my future baby. I would think maybe if I do this, I won't have to go through fertility treatments. That was a huge fear of mine. I'm really scared of needles and I was really scared of the whole process of fertility treatments and thinking, you know what, in the moment, if it was hard, if I was going somewhere where I was like, I don't know that I'm going to have healthy options. Should I prepare something at home? Like, oh, I really don't want to. It's so annoying. I would just think like, maybe if I do this, I won't have to go through fertility treatments. And that motivated the heck out of me to be like, let me just quickly chop up a salad. And like, I have some leftovers from yesterday. Let me just put it in a Tupperware. And I didn't think about this one so much, but I wish I had. And it's something I do bring into my life going forward if I am worried about this. I wish I had thought, I'm afraid of losing this part of myself. I'm afraid of not being the fun girl. losing that sense of fun that comes with eating less healthy foods, but maybe there's a new identity to discover here. And that is really what happened when people ask me, like, wasn't it hard for you to change your diet? I tell them, yeah, it was. And there was a couple of months where I really felt like I was mourning this old version of myself. But there was so much more to come in terms of, first of all, obviously, like, becoming a mother is the biggest identity shift and has created whole new depths to my identity. But other things that ended up coming out of it are actually that I have this really strong identity around self-care and liking myself and treating myself differently. That's been really impactful. I have a really strong identity now since I've started my business and built my business as an entrepreneur. And that's been so amazing. And I've connected to so many incredible people who I never thought I would be friends with because we share this identity of entrepreneurs. And that's been something really special to develop within myself. And, you know, I was so afraid of losing that part of myself, but there was so much more there that I didn't know what was coming. And I wish I had been able to have that kind of foresight. But obviously, hindsight is 20/20. And after a couple of months of, you know, having those kinds of thoughts, which led to different feelings and different actions, that really started to solidify, I shouldn't say solidify, develop this new identity as the healthy girl. And as the months went on, it did solidify. Obviously, there's like something to it with, you know, starting an Instagram account dedicated to healthy food and blogging about it. And, you know, with this podcast, like, people see me as that girl. So now if people invite me over, let's say for a Shabbos meal, they'll be like, oh, what can we make that, you know, you'll be really comfortable eating? Or is there anything that you don't eat? Like, people ask me those questions because they know, you know, this is kind of my thing. So it's helpful when people are thoughtful about that. Or like, if I go out with my friends for dinner, they're like, let's make sure to go somewhere where Lauren feels like she also is going to enjoy it. I have good people in my life. They're very considerate. But that is also partially because I've now built up this strong identity, which was not there in the beginning. And I noticed in the beginning how different inputs were attacking my very delicate new identity because, again, this was fresh. This was fragile in the beginning. And at that time, I had followed a million baking Instagram accounts, like really incredible bakers, world-renowned pastry chefs. I love baking, and not just like eating sweets. I love the art of baking. I really think it's an incredible art. And so many people express their creativity through the way that they design their desserts and the flavors that they use. And I really do think it's a love language, and I appreciate the talent. So I followed all of these accounts. But I realized after a while, I just would feel like, oh my gosh. I mean, listen, part of it was like a lot of those Instagram accounts were not kosher. So I was like, I know I'm never going to that bakery. I know I'm never going to go to Australia and try those not kosher cupcakes. But it just made me think about sugar and cake and macarons and all that stuff and want to bake all the time. And for a little while, I was like, I need to mute these accounts, or I unfollowed some of them because it's not helping me get to where I need to be. And I started following a lot more healthy dishes and healthy chefs. And that made me start to get excited about making healthy meals that were so different than my usual repertoire of recipes and gave me all these fun ideas. And then I'd get really excited. Like, those were the new thoughts when I followed healthy cooking accounts. That looks so yummy. I want to make that. When am I making that for dinner? If I had that, I would be so satisfied. That generated this feeling of excitement, motivation, just like feeling happy. And I like having something to anticipate and looking forward to things. And that led to me then making a lot more healthy meals. I also found that a huge thing that did impact me were what I heard from other people. So again, thank God I have such supportive people in my close circles. My friends, my husband, my family are all super, super supportive. And when I went through this, it's funny because, like, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably know me, like, in the more recent years, if you know me from social media, or maybe you found the podcast through Spotify or whatever, and you hear me talking all the time about nutrition and health and research and all this stuff. But like, I can't even explain, if you didn't know me before, how drastic it was that I was trying to eat healthy. And I remember when I started telling all my friends, because it was like very obvious, we'd be at, you know, all sorts of different things, Shabbat meals. I remember it was like a Purim thing, and we were just always getting together with friends and doing stuff. This was also obviously pre-kids, so like, we had a popping social life. And there was always food and there was always dessert. And someone offered me a cookie and I was just like, oh, I'm like really trying to work on my blood sugar balance. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Because I've never been on a diet in my entire life. Like, I never, ever dieted. I was never concerned with weight loss. And even my friends are just like not big dieters. I don't have a lot of friends always talking about their bodies and losing weight. Like, thank God, I'm so grateful. That's just not the vibe here. And when I told most of my close friends, listen, like, I've learned that I have this thing. I didn't talk about PCOS because I was just like so private about fertility stuff. And I was really embarrassed to talk about it, even though there's nothing wrong with it. It's not embarrassing. I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I just told them, like, I learned that I have this thing called insulin resistance. And that was the extent of like what I said about my medical situation. That basically means my blood sugar is not in a great place and I need to be careful about what I consume. And so I'm trying to eat healthier. And I think part of the reason that people were so supportive is because they knew that this was like so out of my regular type of behavior. Like, I think everyone knew this wasn't just like, you know, that girl who's always going on a different diet. They were like, something's up here. I mean, a lot of people told me later on, they assumed there was something fertility related. Like, I think people, whatever, people knew, even though I never said it, that we were struggling. So thank God people were mostly supportive. But also at that time, I had a group of coworkers who said very different things about food and what I was doing. And there were a lot of comments when I started bringing food to work, because at that time I was working at a place that provided food for the staff and the food was amazing. We actually had like an incredible chef who worked in the kitchen and created all these like amazing, delicious meals. But I was just trying to be really careful about what I was consuming. So I would bring food to work. And because we all got food from work, there actually weren't a lot of questions. There were a lot of comments, and this is so Israeli, but people would just be like, why are you bringing salad? What, you're on a diet? That's so stupid. You're skinny. Like, before I could even open my mouth. And I was like very to myself at this job. I wasn't like getting in people's business. It's really not my style. And I was so uncomfortable when people would just like say these things. And then I would say like, whatever, I have blood sugar issues. And people were like, oh, well, like, even if you have blood sugar issues, it would be really stupid if you start bringing food to work, because like, we get work here and you're skinny, you don't need to lose weight. And I was just like, I didn't ask you, but it made me feel really uncomfortable. And I don't know that it really affected the way that I ate at work. I mean, I stopped eating in the staff room for a little bit because I got really uncomfortable. The truth is also, just with this, like, if any of you have had this kind of struggle where someone in your family or friends or coworkers say weird things to you about the way that you eat, I really did let this bother me in the beginning. And I had one family member, I will say, like, they're of a very different generation, who also just like did not understand what was happening. And this is a person who really, she showed her love through feeding us lots of unhealthy food. Like, that is her love language, is she wants us to eat lots of food. Even if we just finished lunch, it's like, okay, what can I give you now? And if you're not eating, like, she'll yell at you. And I always felt really uncomfortable being in situations with this person because I was just like, I don't want to draw attention to what I'm doing. Again, this was before I had a podcast about it. I was just trying to get pregnant and I really didn't want to talk about it. And I had a lot of guilt around this and I felt weird about it. And I noticed that these thoughts were like seeping into my brain and affecting the way that I was thinking about everything. So I had to learn how to develop new thoughts. So I'll give you some examples if you struggle with, you know, how other people are talking about dieting or weight loss or what you're doing. This one is so powerful. I think what other people think about me is none of my business. I actually think about this still all the time because sometimes I get like weird comments from people on Instagram, or someone will tell me like, oh, this group of people were talking about what you spoke about on Instagram. And thank God most of it's nice, but sometimes it's not nice. And I've just trained myself to think what other people think about me is literally none of my business. Like, I don't think about what other people have going on in their marriages. I don't think about other people's opinions of me. Like, they're equally none of my business. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with them. If someone else feels insecure about the food that I'm eating, and I've seen this play out a number of times where, again, it's not really my close friends, but I'll be like, whatever, at an event or meeting someone new. And sometimes they'll just hear like, oh, someone will say, oh, you should meet Lauren. She's a nutrition coach. Like, what she does is really cool. And I've had people say like, oh my God, I don't want to talk to you because you'll so judge me. I eat so unhealthy. And I was like, I haven't said a word to you yet. And you can feel whatever you want to feel, like you're, you know, you're valid in your feelings, but like, I actually don't care about what you eat whatsoever. Like, I don't think about what people are eating unless they are paying me to think about and talk about what they're eating. And that's a really strong line that I developed early on in my business. I don't make other people's food my business unless they are paying me to do it. And I encourage everybody to do that. So if nobody pays you to comment on their food, you should not be commenting on other people's food or their bodies or their diets or fertility or anything else. But that was something that I did and continued to repeat over and over when I'm worried that other people's thoughts about me is affecting my behavior. What other people think about me is none of my business. I would also think I deserve to feel good in my body. Because the truth is, it happens sometimes that people are uncomfortable with you making choices about taking care of yourself. I see this a lot with my clients. Again, I didn't have this so much in my close circle, but I have clients who tell me, you know, my sister really struggles with her relationship with food, or my mother really struggles, or my best friend. They can make weird comments and nasty comments sometimes, even when they see someone else in their life who they used to feel like was relatable on this topic. When they start to change things, that feels threatening to them. But you can't live your life trying to just make other people comfortable if it comes at the expense of taking care of your health. You deserve to feel good in your body. And that was something I would tell myself a lot. I deserve to feel good in my body. Another couple of things that I try to tell myself are, I have time, I have energy, I have the money. Because I would notice that those would be excuses a lot of the times of, you know, if I felt like I can't prepare a healthy meal, I don't have time, I don't have energy. It's really not true. Like, a lot of times I do have the time. I do have the energy. I'm just directing it towards other things. And again, sometimes those are things that don't make me feel great, like scrolling on my phone or doing whatever, procrastinating things in other ways. And when I just tell myself I have time, I have energy, it makes it easier for me to go out and do those things. So I want to give you a few tips if you struggle with getting clear on your thoughts. Number one, create time for silence. I think especially in the morning and before bed, that's when our brains are most vulnerable to what we're taking in. So if you scroll on your phone in the morning or before bed, this is a habit. I promise you, if you work on changing this, you will change your life because your thoughts will change. When you are bombarded with who even knows what is going to pop up on that phone, it could be anything. And nowadays also, we're seeing so much graphic, horrible information on social media. To start off your day with those things being first in your mind and you don't even really process the thoughts or feelings that come from them, it sets the tone for your day. And if you start off with silence, you can then say, okay, well, what thoughts do I want to bring in? What thoughts lead me to taking the actions that make me feel good? Is it waking up and just being grateful? Is it having thoughts of gratitude? Thank you. I'm so thankful for, you know, having another day, for waking up here, for having fresh air when I open the window. Like, maybe those are the thoughts that you want to cultivate. And you could be having, I know we've all had this, you could be having a really good day and then see something on your phone, an email, a text, something on social media that can just burst your bubble and stir up all these negative thoughts and create dissatisfaction or envy or judgment. It's so much harder to cultivate the new thoughts when there's all of that noise around. So turning off the radio, turning off the podcast, turning off the Instagram reels, and having some time for silence so you can get clear on what your thoughts are. Number two is journal. I find that when my thoughts are like all over the place, writing makes things come out so much more clear because there's so much going on in our heads. Sometimes it can be really hard to even listen to what is that little chitter chatter saying. But when you get out a paper and you literally just say, like, I'm not going to think about it, I'm just going to write down whatever is on my brain, and you kind of let it flow automatically, then you start to see what kinds of thoughts are actually coming into your brain. And then you can work backwards. If you say, okay, these are the thoughts and they're leading me to feel like X, and then they're leading me to do Y, work backwards. What is the action you want to be doing? What is the feeling that's going to help you get to that action? You know, if you want to be eating breakfast every day, maybe you have to feel energized. Maybe you have to feel like, you know, you deserve it. You have to feel proud of yourself. And maybe that means you have these thoughts of like, I have enough time to make breakfast. I'm someone who deserves to have breakfast. And just starting with really simple habits like that can help. Number three is work with a coach. When you have someone else to bounce this model off of, it will really help keep you on track and focused and also bring you back in. So you don't spiral all over the place, go in different directions, because the thought work can get tricky. There's like such a deeply tangled web in a lot of our brains when it comes to our thoughts. And having someone who's able to walk you through this can be really helpful. Number four, I feel like I've said it a million times in this episode, but be really selective with what you consume when it comes to the conversations that you have, the media that you consume. And if you really struggle because you feel like there are people in your life who, you know, maybe are not bad people, but like they just don't understand your boundaries around this, you might need to have conversations with them and create boundaries. Like I could tell you, I love my husband. He's the best person in the world. He's my best friend, but we feel very differently when we consume the news. Like I can consume the news and have it create panic in my body and set me off for the entire day. And he actually feels really differently when he reads the news. He feels informed. It helps him feel in control. It helps him feel, you know, like he knows what's going on in the world, and that makes him feel good. And that helps him be more productive. And I have had to have conversations around him like, I love you. I want to talk to you. Not about certain things in the news, certainly not 6:30 in the morning. Like if he wakes up and starts telling me about like what's happening with the war, I'm like, no, not happening. Like I can't start my day like that. And he knows that. And we've had many conversations about it because sometimes he needs reminders, but like, it's really, really important that you're able to notice in yourself, like these kinds of inputs make me feel a certain way and it's not helpful. And when I tell him like, this doesn't help me as a wife, it doesn't help me help the kids get ready and be present for our kids, he's like, okay, like just because this is interesting to me and helps me feel good, it doesn't help you feel good. So we don't need to talk about that. And we connect over lots of other topics that are not related to the crazy things that are happening today. I think this is really hard if you have people in your life who have really unhealthy relationships with food. If you're around friends or family members who will say things like, I was so bad this week, diet starts tomorrow, or they're always talking about calories, or you're around all these people who are like, I need to lose the baby weight, or like, I hate my postpartum body, I need to get it back. I've had experiences like that where I'm like, I don't even feel so negative, but like other people talk about how negative they feel and it makes me feel more negative. And it can be really uncomfortable to have those conversations if you're like, listen, I'm not able to talk to these people about talking about these things differently. I would recommend just take some time before and after you get together with these people and have that silence and just think about the thoughts you want to cultivate about your body and your health, and make sure that, again, you're letting in what feels good for you. And if something seeps in that you're like, that doesn't feel good, work through the model. Like think about how it makes you feel and see if you could bring in other thoughts. And sometimes you need even like more time to do that to counteract, you know, whatever negative things your friends or your family was saying. And I want to stress, we need to make time to practice this because most of us have been set up to think a lot of negative thoughts. First of all, there's an evolutionary reason that we do this. We used to need to focus more on the negative because that was what we needed for survival. So if we thought about, you know, a wild animal might come into my cage or I saw some tracks in the dirt, I'm going to focus on that because that will help me survive. If I focus, oh my gosh, we're almost out of food, we need to go forage for tomorrow's meal, that helped us survive. Nowadays, a lot of the things we stress about are not life or death, but we really stick and harp onto those negative things because we have this survival instinct that if we focus on the negative, it will help us survive. Another way that I think this is affecting so many of us is just how rampant consumerism is. And it's something I've also noticed a lot since I moved from America to Israel, and I go back to visit, thank God, a lot. Consumerism, especially in America, because it's here too, but it's not as rampant. The consumerism and the marketing is literally set up to make you think, I am missing something and my life would be so much better if I only had that product. And so many people get looped into this, you know, this cycle of like, I need to buy this and it's going to make me feel a certain way. And then it doesn't. And there are billions, if not trillions of dollars being spent every year in marketing to make you feel dissatisfied with your life. Really, when you see all this stuff on Instagram, and I talk about this with my friends all the time, especially when people are selling things, you know, you see some influencer post her perfect life and her perfect outfit. And then like, you know, you could use her discount code that she's making money off of when you click on it. Like she is hiding a lot of the mess behind her, which is fine. This is her job. She needs to make a living too. But she is not sharing her full life. Like that's not reality. That's not her real life. She's showing you how picture perfect her life looks so that you feel like, shoot, my life doesn't look like that. But maybe if I had that dress or that handbag or that foundation, it would. And some of that is not even, you know, being paid by marketing companies, and it's not about, you know, making money. Some of that is just like the organic truth of sharing on social media because it's a highlight reel. So you see your friends posting their vacations or, you know, posting the good stuff. You see people on LinkedIn posting the highlights, their promotion, their offer at a new job. Like, they don't talk about how much they have struggled at this job or the stress they feel when they have to talk to their boss. Like, we don't share about that stuff. So when you're consuming these things, you need to really remind yourself, like, this isn't real. And I'm seeing a lot of stuff that's fake and that's designed to make me feel worse about my own life. And we need to put up a really strong armor of defense around it and work really hard on bringing in positive messaging that aligns with the way that you want to be thinking about your life and food and health and your body. I actually love Peloton for this. Shout out to Peloton because I just love it so much. The way they talk about exercise gets me so excited, and it kind of brainwashes me into the way that I think about exercise, which is good. Like, whenever I do yoga, they'll talk about balance and stability a lot. Like, actually today they were saying this in my class. I was doing this pose, it's called half moon, where you're basically balancing on one leg and you're kind of sideways. I mean, you could look it up if you want to picture it, but the whole time your ankle is like shaking a little bit. And the teacher always says, look at how your ankle is fighting to support you. Your body works so hard every day to support you. This is you getting stronger. Every wobble means that you're getting a little bit stronger. And I just love thinking about fitness in that way, that like every wobble is me getting stronger and supporting myself and reminding myself that my body's doing a million things. Like, I am trying to think about how to balance, but, you know, it's kind of subconscious. Like, my body just knows what to do. It knows to sway left or right to try to keep me upright. And it's amazing. It's amazing to think about what my body is doing in order to support me at all times. Like, my immune system is working right now. My kidneys are working right now to support me and keep me healthy. My liver is working so hard to support me. And when I have those thoughts, I feel a lot of love. I feel a lot of gratitude. I get to this place where I feel like my body is so good to me. I want to be so good back to it. I want to give it healthy food. I want to give it a lot of water. I want to go to sleep early. And it's a very different pathway than feeling like fitness is a form of punishment. Like, if you go into your exercise thinking, I need to lose weight, I'm so ugly, I hate how I look in all my clothes, everyone thinks I look gross, like, how are you going to feel? You're going to feel horrible about yourself. And then even if that makes you feel so afraid of your weight and your body, so you're forcing yourself to work out, even if you do it, I promise you, it is not going to have the same effect as if you went into that workout with a different mindset. Like, you really cannot heal a body that you hate. We need to be kind to our bodies, and it physiologically affects us differently when we go in with a different energy. I'll just share if any of these resonate with you, like a few other mantras, thoughts, whatever you want to call them, that I get from different people that I follow who fill me up with lots of positive stuff. So these are other things they say in the Peloton classes when I do strength with like squats and mobility. They tell me this is going to help keep you mobile as you age. Like, when I'm doing squats and they say, this is going to mean that you can go to the bathroom by yourself when you're 80. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the most motivating thing. I have grandparents who are not in the best shape, and I have others who are in amazing shape. And like, I see the quality of life difference. Like, that makes me want to do squats. Sometimes they say things like, you are a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time. That also really resonates with me, that I could be like super proud of my body and super happy with it, and also want to get stronger and also want to improve in certain ways. And that's just a really nice mindset for me that makes me feel like both grateful for my body, but also motivated to keep working on it. There's another one that I just think is so funny. One of the trainers always says, hot people drink water. And it makes me laugh every time, but it does make me grab my water bottle. She's like, okay, water break. Remember, hot people drink water. It's so funny. I'm going to shout out another fitness instructor / friend, Esther Taub. If you don't follow her on Instagram, you should, because she's full of positive motivation. And she always, I mean, she says a lot of amazing things, but one of the things that she says that's like literally stuck in my brain, she talks about respecting your fullness. And she always says, your body is not a garbage can. Don't just shove food into your body, because the alternative would be, I feel bad about throwing it out. And I love how she says it because, first of all, if you know Esther and you follow her other content, she's someone who's like so intuitive with her body and has such a positive outlook and body positivity and is very real about like what a real woman looks like pre-pregnancy, postpartum, throughout women's life cycles, and that fitness is really not just about looking a certain way and getting thin. It's really about being healthy and doing things in moderation. And when she says that, like, your body is not a garbage can, respect your fullness, it really makes me stop and think. And I'm someone who used to always overeat. I used to eat way past the point of fullness. I would eat until I felt completely stuffed and I had stomach aches. And I thought that was the cue. Like, you stop eating and a meal is over when you're stuffed. But when I think about this now, like, my body's not a garbage can. The feeling that I have with that thought is like caring. I want to take care of my body. Oh my gosh, my body's not a garbage can. My body's amazing. I want to take care of it. I want to respect it. And that's also very different than someone who says, don't overeat. You're going to get sick and ruin your gut health if you overeat. Like, that makes me feel fear. That doesn't make me feel motivated to take care of myself. So really thinking about the way that, you know, people can say two different things about the same exact action. Don't eat late at night because it's going to ruin your health and your hormones versus your body's not a garbage can. Respect your fullness. Like, it's so different and it brings such a different energy. And I really want to encourage you, be selective to bring in the input that you want to cultivate it. Because I joke and say these things brainwash me, and brainwashing obviously has such a bad connotation, but I think when we consume things over and over again, it does, it seeps in there. And I am more than happy with the way that all the fitness classes that I take, the way that the teachers talk about health and fitness, it's a really beautiful, grounded approach to why we're moving our bodies and why we need to be taking care of ourselves. And it really helps me. And the last thing is just continue to be aware of how whatever you take in, whatever you consume, is affecting your thoughts. I'll give you an example. I read a lot of personal development and business books and like finance books. And when they talk about success and people achieving their goals and success, literally almost every book mentions weight loss as like the classic example of someone who is doing something successful. And it's really interesting. I've become very aware of it because I talk a lot about this with my clients, that losing weight is not always an example of getting healthier. And as someone who never struggled with an unhealthy weight, but struggled with a lot of metabolic issues and fertility issues and hormonal issues, I just notice when they're like, okay, you want to achieve something. Let's say you want to lose weight. Like, this person lost 60 pounds and this is how they did it. And I'm like, that they're not saying everybody needs to lose weight, but the underlying message there is that weight loss equals success. And I've also worked with so many people who have dieted in the past and lost weight, and it really wasn't healthy for them. And it also usually doesn't last long term because they're so unhealthy if they're on these crazy low calorie or restrictive diets. And a lot of well-meaning people will constantly talk about, you know, weight loss as like an inherently positive, healthy, successful thing. Sometimes it can be that, but not always. And it's just interesting to see like, wow, that's why our culture is so messed up when it comes to weight, because these are not even health books. They're not about nutrition at all. They're about totally different things, but they talk about like weight loss is, you know, that prime example of success. And I think about how that affects me as a woman, a mother. I, you know, did a whole episode back a while ago about like my health journey postpartum and my relationship with my body and just feeling like out of nowhere, this pressure to lose weight and go back to my pre-baby body, which is why would I think that? That's literally the most insane thing in the world if you think about it. Why would I ever look like I didn't have a baby when I did? Like, would we ever want to look as if we didn't go through puberty? Like, do I want to look like I'm 5 years old? No, like, that's just weird. It doesn't even make sense. But the thoughts are so deeply embedded in what our culture is telling us is good or is normal, that we just end up letting it seep into our own thoughts. And it takes a lot of questioning. And I'll tell you, it's scary. It's scary to start questioning all of your thoughts because it can feel so different. But I actually really believe when you start doing this and you start becoming conscious of your thoughts and how they make you feel and how they affect your actions, that is literally how you could change your life. And there, I forgot who wrote it. I think it's also Dr. Amen. There's a book called Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. That's a really good resource for any of you who find this interesting and want to go deeper on this and get a lot more practical information about this. But if this episode has at all inspired you to change your thoughts or think about, you know, different ways that thoughts have been affecting your health journey and what you're doing, let me know. I love to hear from you guys. You can send me an email. You can send me a DM on Instagram. And I just want to wish all of you good thoughts wherever you're going, wherever you are today. And I'm excited to be back next week with another awesome episode. So take care and thanks for listening. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the About Health and Hormones podcast. If you loved today's episode, I would love to know. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so I can make this podcast even better for you all. I would love to connect with you. Follow me on Instagram at Lauren Allen Nutrition or head to my website, www.laurenallennutrition.com, to learn about my coaching programs and stay up to date on all of my latest workshops and courses. I am so glad you are here today, and I wish you all health and happiness.